My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who
this morning. I always like to follow Jessica when she sings because that's a message in itself right there. If you would this morning turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. I'd like to read this chapter this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present you every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. My message today is a very simple message. Very simple. It's a very simple text that I'm preaching from. Very simple, and it's from a simple person. I went to high school, and I graduated from high school, but that's the extent of my education. But I will say this. I have sat under the gospel ministry for 40 years. Pretty close. 40 years. And I've heard a lot of preaching. A lot of good preaching. A lot of it. And there are men that I've heard preach. I've heard them preach. And I've learned the doctrines of grace from men. I have. I've learned Calvinism from men. I have. I can cite them. I know them. I know them upside down the other. I know them. But the grace and the doctrine, the grace that is in this right here, was taught to me by the Holy Spirit. And you'll never know the grace that is in that doctrine. Oh my, the wonderful grace that is there. Until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and shows you your need for it. He's got to show your sinners. Got to show it to you. And when he does, oh my, the grace that is here. The grace that is in these truths. Oh my. Well, my verse this morning that I'm preaching from is verse 19. Very simple verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning asking your blessing. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and to worship you, Lord. You are so merciful to us. You have been so gracious to us. And Lord, we just pray that your great grace would be amongst us here today. Lord, there are so many pains and so many troubles and so many trials in this world. Oh, that we had the time to mention them all this morning to you. But today we come to you with one accord and we ask this one blessing this morning. that your grace would dwell amongst us, and that some poor, needy sinner here this morning would see his need for a Savior, her need for a Savior, their need for a Savior, Lord. See their sin, see their depravity, see their wickedness. Oh, and then to see the glorious gospel. Lord, we pray that this would be the case. Lord, we beseech you, we beg of you, Lord, have mercy on us this day. Oh, for your glory and your honor, we pray. In your dear Son's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, for it pleased the Father. That's what we're here for this morning, isn't it? To please the Father. To please the Father. Everyone came here this morning for the same reason. To please the Father. Now, there are different reasons why someone, and they might think in their hearts different ways about why they're or how they're pleasing the Father. There are different ways about that. You know, we started homeschooling here this year, and I guess I'm the principal of the school. And I told the children I was going to get a board, and I was going to put school board on it, and I was going to put it in my office. And I told them, you don't want to meet with the school board. You don't want to meet with them. Okay, there's two reasons why you can try to please someone. The first one is you're scared of them. You're scared of what might happen if you don't please them. And the second is because you love them. And I hope to goodness that my children would try to please me because they love me. That's why I hope. But there are two reasons why anybody would come to church this morning. Two reasons. You're either scared, or it's because you love the Lord. You love the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we pleasing to the Father? I don't want anybody to walk out that door this morning without asking yourself that question. Am I pleasing to the Father? Am I pleasing to Him? We understand by the Word of God, we understand that it is appointed unto man once to die. We know that. We can see it. All we got to do is look in the mirror. There was a time in my life I could haul drywall all day, go home, get my basketball stuff on, go play basketball until 10 o'clock, come home, get up, do it all again the next day. I can't do that anymore. I can't. I'm doing good just to get home. I'm telling you, we got a one-way ticket to the grave. The flesh is a one-way ticket there. And it is appointed unto man once to die and then to face the judgment. There is a judgment that is going to be faced. There is. We are all going to stand in the presence of a thrice holy God and be judged. We are. And the only thing, whether you are going to stand before Him and be justified or not justified, whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell, it revolves around this one thing. Are you pleasing to the Father? Are you pleasing to Him? Or are you offensive to Him? Are you offensive? Are you pleasant in His sight? Are you? Or are you offensive to Him? Are you beautiful in His sight? Or does He look upon you with abhorrence? Which one? Are you lovely in His sight? Are you? Or does He look upon you with a holy indignation that an eternity in hell will not pay the down payment upon? It won't. Oh, the question that's got to be answered this morning is, am I pleasing to the Lord or not? Am I? That song that was written, "Tis a Point I Long to Know." Oft it causes anxious thoughts. Do I love the Lord or not? Am I His or am I not? Oh, it's a point we long to know. Well, the answer lies in what the God of creation is pleased with. What is the God of all creation pleased with? Well, I think it's right here in our text. It's right here. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His dear and precious Son, it has pleased Him that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Oh, I think what the Lord is pleased with this morning by our text is all fullness. Isn't He? All fullness. All of it. Oh my. Now this fullness, what is it? What is it? Well, we've heard of grace. We hear of grace preached.
And that is God's riches. The riches of God. The fullness of God. What is this fullness we're talking about? This fullness is a perfect righteousness. A perfect righteousness. It is an absolute holiness. Absolute holiness. Absolute perfect keeping of the Levitical law and the spirit of the law. The Levitical law says, thou shalt not kill. The spirit of the law says, you look at your brother with envy or hate in your heart. You're guilty of murder. You're guilty of it. The spirit of the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The letter of the law says, don't even look. Don't even look. The Levitical law says, thou shalt not steal. The spirit of the law says, you don't touch it. Don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. That's what the spirit says. Righteousness, as John the Baptist told those Pharisees, he said, it far exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. It far exceeds that. To be all fullness is to be all light. To all light. For he is light, and in him dwelleth no darkness whatsoever. None. When the God of the Bible says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. When he says, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. He is saying, you must be all fullness. You have to be all fullness. Oh, if one minute speck of darkness is found in you, then you are not all fullness. You are not acceptable in His sight. No, you're not. Now, the Word of God creates many legal problems for the sinner. It does. Many. Job asked this question over and over again. He said, how can man who is born of a woman be just with God? How can he be just with God? Many verses in the Bible point us to our imperfection. They point us to that. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's that fullness, that glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not even one. Isaiah 64:6 says, we are all as unclean things. And all of our righteousnesses, that's plural, all of them are as filthy rags in His sight. All of them. Oh, but lest you think your depravity is not total. Lest you think that there is some portions of your life that has not been stained by sin. By the fall. Now, I give you our text. I give you our text. For it says plainly in this text, it pleased the Father that in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Now if all fullness, and if all perfection, all righteousness, all merit, all holiness, all power dwells in Him, then where, my friends, is yours? Where is it? If it please the Father, then in Him should all fullness dwell, then where's yours? Where's yours? From what earthly spring are you going to go and find one drop of fullness that does not exist? Where are you going to find it? From what mine are you going to go dig one ounce of fullness that does not exist? Oh, for if all fullness belongs to Him, if it is all in Him, then there is no earthly fullness to be found. There is none. Oh, listen, I tell you, if you, my friend, have a fullness whatsoever in and of yourselves, then this book is a lie. It's a lie. And the paper it's written on isn't worth anything. It's not. For this verse plainly states, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. If you claim a righteousness of your own, if you claim a self-righteousness of your own, then you in all essence are calling the Word of God a lie, and you're standing before the thrice holy God and you're calling Him a liar. That's what you're doing. You are. What do you say? Are you telling me that somewhere in my heart, somewhere in my being, that there is not one ounce of goodness to be found? That there's not one speck of goodness? Somewhere in the back of my heart, you couldn't find something that could be considered fullness in the sight of God? Oh, I can't stomach that. No. I'm not telling you that. The Word of God is telling you that. For it says in this verse, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. Listen, if a king of a country, okay, if a king of a country said, I have all the wealth. I have all of it. All the money is mine. Every bit of money in this kingdom is mine. And there was this young man way off over the river and through the woods. To his house we go. Okay, he's way off in the corner of the kingdom. And he's got an old shack down underneath a bunch of trees. Can't see it. And somewhere in this kingdom, this boy, this young man, he's got a penny, 1 cent. And he's got it tucked under his mattress. No one knows about it. I tell you, that king's a liar. He's a liar. For he does not have all the money. No, he doesn't. He said, well, how's that king supposed to know? How's he supposed to know that boy's got that penny under his mattress? My king's omniscient. He is. He knows everything. He wrote this. He wrote it. He said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. If there is one penny, if it's buried in the ground somewhere in this kingdom, if it's just buried in the ground, and there's someone by chance, he's plowing in his field, and he happens to plow this penny up. Oh, and he jumps off his tractor and jumps down and grabs his penny and holds it up in the air. Look what I found. And he runs to the king and he says, look, look what I have. I have 1 cent. I have a penny. I know it's not much. But listen, I've got something, which means you don't have all. You don't have all of it. Oh, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. All fullness. There are two great truths shown in this text. Number one, the fullness of our Savior. The fullness of him. And the second thing it shows us is our emptiness. Our total and utter emptiness without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are empty. There are people all over in Christendom today. Okay, almost everyone that is a Christian that claims to be saved, they would say that they're sinners. They would. They'd say that they're sinners. They would. For Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you put two and two together and you're a Christian, you've got to be a sinner. Whether you think you are or not, you have to be a sinner. And many claim not to be whole. They do. They claim not to be whole. For Jesus said, the whole need not a physician. The whole need not be. You got to believe you're not whole. You have to. Many claim to be lost. You have to say you're not whole. Not believe you're not whole. Many claim to be lost. They do. They claim you have to. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're not lost, if you don't claim to be lost, then Jesus never came for you. He never came to seek you. It says it right in the Scriptures. It does. But many, I fear, do not understand. They do not understand the severity of their circumstance. They don't understand it. The fact that outside of Christ, men are altogether sinful. Altogether sinful. That they are sick unto death. They just don't have the sniffles. They're just not a little bit sick. They're sick unto death. For outside of Christ, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead. That we are lost. We're not just lost out in our backyard. No, we're lost in a wilderness of depravity that is so thick and so vast. It would take eternity and we'd never find our way out of it. Never. Oh, we are truly empty. Empty. Empty of anything that is acceptable in God's eyes. Empty of it. That the Word of God was truly spoken through Isaiah when he said that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. That was the Word of God that was spoken through him. The truth. Wait a minute, you say. Wait a minute. This morning I got up and I read my Bible. Surely there must have been something good in that. Surely there had to be something that would merit something before God in that. I asked you this morning this. Did you see Christ when you read your Bible? Did you? Did you see Christ in the text? Was he there? Did you see him? Did you? Did every word of the Scripture, did it point you to your need of a Savior? Did it? When you read the law of God, did you tremble? Did you tremble? Did you see that death angel pass by the verse? Did you see it? Oh, and when he passed by, did he see the blood? Did he see it? Oh, my. Did you see Christ? Did you, as Spurgeon said, he said, He said, every word, did every word of the Scripture provide you with a constellation of promises that guided your eye to the star of Bethlehem? Did it? Oh, if not, there was only emptiness in what you did. There's only emptiness in what you did. Oh, you read this book, if you don't see Christ, there's nothing there. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It's in Him. You've got to see Christ. You've got to see Christ in it. Well, you see, after I read my Bible, then I prayed. I prayed. There's got to be something good in that. Well, when you prayed, did you plead the blood of Jesus? Did you? Oh, was every word uttered sprinkled with the blood of our blessed Savior? Was it? Did you come before the throne of God boldly and with all confidence, knowing that He who has the Son hath life? Did you? Was His will sought in your prayer? Oh, if not, then it was just vain repetition. That's all it was. It was clouds with no water. It was words with no power. That's what it was. For it pleased the Father that in the Lord Jesus Christ should all fullness dwell. All fullness is in Him. You say, well, I'm sitting in church this morning. I'm sitting here in church this morning. Is there any good in that? Is there? Did you come expecting to hear of Christ? Terrence said in his prayer this morning, oh, that we might see Christ. That we might see Christ. Did you come here expecting to see Christ? Are you sitting on the edge of your pew waiting? Hoping just to hear one word of Christ? Are you? Oh, I remember that story. I'm sure you've all heard it, that story of that little boy at Spurgeon's church. He was sitting up on the front row. And he was sitting up there and he was sitting right on the edge of the pew. And had his ears like this. And some old lady looked at him. She said, son, are you hard of hearing? You having a hard time hearing? He looked at her and he said, no, ma'am, no. He said, Mr. Spurgeon said that the Lord calls sinners. And I don't want to miss His call. I don't want to miss it. Are you sitting on the edge of the pew like that? Is that how you are? Are you disappointed with all exhortation that does not show you Christ? That does not show you the blood of the crucified one. Are you? Oh, I hope you are. Does your soul long for Christ? Does it? Do you pray that the one speaking will be determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Do you look at the lost people beside you and the people around you, your children? And you put your hands on over them and you look up at the preacher with all earnestness in your eyes. And you cry to him. But the voice that cannot be uttered, and you say, preacher, show us Jesus. Oh, that we might see Jesus. That we might see Him. Oh, my. If not, then just sitting here isn't good enough. No, it's not. It's not unless we see Christ. We might have stayed home and watched football. Might as well. Because it is Him, in Him, and Him alone. That all fullness dwells. It is in Him. You say, well, boy, you're kind of taking everything from it. Well, what about when I walk out the door, I always put money in the offering box. I do that. Surely there's got to be something in that. Well, I asked you this morning this. I said, did you give unto the Lord as He has given to you? Freely. Freely. No strings attached. Lovingly. Did you? Was your offering a gift, like grace, like faith? Was it a gift? Was it? Or was it works? Was it? Did you give like the Israelites of old? Out of bondage, out of fear? Oh my, if I don't do this, something bad's going to happen to me. Did you? How'd you give? Did you give because the law that is written on tables of stone? Or did you give because that law of love that is written in your heart? Why? Why? Ask yourself this. I don't want you leaving them doors until you've asked yourself these questions. Until you found out in your heart, am I pleasing to Him? Oh, until you saw Christ. Until you saw Him. Did you give because you saw the fires of Mount Sinai jumping out of that box? Did you? Or did you give because you saw the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there on that hill called Golgotha or Calvary? You saw Him hanging there. And you say, He gave His life for me. What have I given to Thee? What have I given to Thee? Oh, if Christ was seen in your gift, I tell you, there was fullness there. There was fullness. For it has pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. But if He wasn't seen, your offering was like Cain's. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. The produce of our fields are not acceptable in His sight. No, they are not. There's no fullness there. None whatsoever. If you come with your fullness, you're as one who enters a bank and you've got a counterfeit note, counterfeit bill. And you walk up to that teller and you lay that bill down and say, I want to deposit this in the bank. Oh, you're not only guilty of having that bill. That bill is not only worthless, but you are guilty of being in possession of that bill. You're guilty. My, the teller, what's she going to do? She's going to call the guard. She's going to call him. Say, you arrest this man. He's guilty of counterfeiting. He's guilty of being a counterfeit. If you stand before God with anything other than the fullness of Christ, then His fullness, then my friend, this morning you stand before God a counterfeit. You are a counterfeit. Your so-called fullness is counterfeit. It is. And the God of all creation will look at you and He will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Your fullness is counterfeit. I don't recognize that. I don't recognize it. The only fullness that God recognized is the fullness He put in His Son. The all fullness that He put in His Son. For it is in Him and Him alone that all fullness dwells. Oh, that all would see that nothing will fuel the fires of hell like self-righteousness. Oh, it won't. It won't. Nothing is going to kindle the wrath of God on sinners. Like a sinner coming before a thrice holy God, looking Him straight in the face and calling Him a liar. Nothing's going to kindle His wrath more than that. Nothing will. Nothing will justify God more in the casting of sinners into eternal damnation than self-righteousness. Than taking away from the fullness that is in His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to do that. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would show us this morning our emptiness. That He might fill us. That He could fill us. That we might see His fullness. Oh, that we could understand this verse. For it is in Him. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. You remember Joseph down there in Egypt? You remember that? All the corn in Egypt belonged to Joseph, didn't it? All the corn. Turn over. It's Genesis 42. I want you to see this. Genesis 42. Genesis 42, verse 40, or 41, I'm sorry. 41, verse 48. It says in verse 48, it says, and he, that is Joseph, gathered up all the flood food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Oh, the fullness of Christ is without number. You couldn't measure the fullness of Christ. You can't measure it. Look over here in verse 54. Verse 54 says, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, no more food, it was all gone. All the food was gone. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Watch what Pharaoh says. He says, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Because He's got all the food. And I'm saying there this morning, I'm saying, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. You're sitting in a land of famine right now. Oh, there's a famine of fullness. There is no fullness to be found in this world. I'm saying this morning, go to Him who is all fullness. Go to Him who is all fullness. Look to Him. Look to Christ. Oh, those people that came to Joseph, you know what? They came with empty sacks. They did. They have nothing in their sacks. What would have happened if somebody had come up and had a full bag of food and said, I need some more? Joseph would say, you get out of here. Where'd you find that? Where'd you find that at? No, they all came with empty sacks. And if we're going to come to Christ this morning, if you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if He's going to fill you this morning, you're going to have to come with an empty cup. An empty cup. Oh, all healing power. You remember that snake in the wilderness? All healing power was put in that snake, wasn't it? It was. They said, you look at this snake, you live. You don't, you're going to die. You're going to die. Oh, it's all put in that snake. Oh, you remember, all the atoning power was put in that blood that was on the doorpost of the children of Israel in Egypt. All of it. That angel that went by, he wasn't looking at the people inside, was he? What was he looking for? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood. Oh, he's going to have to see the all fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ when he sees you. Oh, there's no hope. There is no hope whatsoever. Joseph, was he not a picture of Christ? Wasn't he? The snake on the pole that was lifted up, was that not Christ? In the mind and purpose of God, wasn't it? Oh, that blood on the doorpost, in the mind and picture and type and shadow and all these things, it is a picture of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that blood is. Oh, that when He passes by us, He'd see the blood. He'd see the blood. Listen, in ourselves we have nothing. We are empty. Empty. We're empty of any merit. We are empty of any righteousness. We are empty of any fullness. We are empty of any holiness, anything whatsoever. Well, outside of Christ, we are complete darkness. Now listen to what I'm going to say. We are complete darkness with no hope of ever dwelling in the light and whatsoever in and of ourselves. No hope. We are absolute sinners who are absolutely lost, who are absolutely dead, okay? And we need an absolute Savior with absolute fullness so we might stand before an absolutely just God and be absolutely justified. There's no variables here. None whatsoever. It's a gospel message. That's what it is. Paul, if you today, I tell you, if you today are like that young man out the corner of his kingdom, that king's kingdom, and you have that one bit of righteousness that is buried under your mattress somewhere. Oh, if you do. If you look down in your cup and you see that one bit of righteousness just dangling in your cup, just clanging around in your cup. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, cast it aside. Cast it aside. It's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. And I point you to that one who hangs between two thieves. I point you to him. Do you see him? Do you see that one who hangs up there? Oh, do you see those thieves that are beside him? You see those guards that walking up to those thieves and breaking their legs? Do you see him? Do you see him walking up to the Savior's side? Do you see him plunging that spear into his side? Do you see that fount that flows from his side? Do you see it? Oh, take that empty cup of yours. Take it. And plunge it in that fount that flows from the Savior's side. And be saved. Be full. For that, is, that alone is where fullness comes from. And that is the only place you're going to find it. The only place you're going to find it. Oh my, if you're like that one who's plowing in the field. Are you like him this morning? Are you out there plowing in the field working? Oh, I say, jump off that plow. You're not going to find nothing. You're not going to find it. Jump off that plow and run to the Savior. Run to Him. Look in your cup. There's nothing there. It's empty. The only thing that you see is sweat and dirt from what you've been doing. That's all you've got to offer. Jump off that plow and run to Christ. And take that cup and put it in that fount that flows from His side. Oh my. That fount of righteousness. Oh, and if you're here this morning, if you're here this morning, you say, oh, there's not enough fullness in all of creation to cover my sin. There isn't fullness enough. Oh, I tell you this morning, harlot Rahab, she's filled.
She was filled.
She was. That thief on the cross, he was filled. He was filled. Oh, Saul of Tarsus. That one who enjoyed. He consented to those ones that stoned Stephen. He held the coats and he watched it and enjoyed it. He did. Oh, he found fullness, did he not? He found fullness in that fount that flows from the Savior's side. He found fullness there. Oh, my. He wrote it in 1 Timothy there. He said, it is a faithful saying. And it is worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Of whom I'm chief. Oh, if there's room enough at the fount for the chief of sinners, there's room enough for you. There's room enough for you. There's fullness there for you. Oh, and little ones, cannot forget you. Oh, the fall has left his mark on you. It has. It's left his mark on you. I know you have not had the time in your life to stain your cup as we have. No, you haven't. But there's enough sin in you to send you to hell right now. There is. And I'm ashamed to say it, but you inherited that from me. You inherited it from your mommy and daddy, who inherited it from their daddy and their daddy right down the line. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, I pray this morning that you would look in your cup. Oh, little ones, look in your cup. Look in your cup. You see anything? You see emptiness? Do you see emptiness? For that's all that's there. Oh, I don't ask you this morning to make a decision for Christ. For in and of yourself, you can't do that. You can't do that. But by the grace of God, by the working of the Holy Spirit in your lives, you could look in your cup and see emptiness this morning. I take you and I point you to Christ. For that is what Jesus said to do, is it not? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Oh my. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. There's fullness there. Oh, there's fullness there. Oh, my. No one has ever been turned away that comes with an empty cup. They're not. They will not be turned away. They will not. Oh, and to you, you hear this morning that have tasted of the grace of God in your lives, that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and at one time in your lives, you felt like that fount was overflowing in your life. Oh my, but now you, the flesh and the world and the devil, oh, they're strong adversaries. They are. And they'll pick fights with any chance they can. They will. And you feel in your life, you feel that cup that once ran over. That cup that was once wet and moist on the side of that cup with the dew and with the water of life. Ah, you feel it's all but dried up, that size of your cup. And you see the flecks of rust and the little bits of dirt on the side of your cup. Oh, I say this morning, look to Christ. Just look to Christ. Oh, we got to not just be filled with the fount. You got to live at the fount. You got to live there. Oh, in your prayers, look to Christ. Pray to Christ. Pray to Him. When you come to church, look for Christ in everything. When you read your Bible, when you read it, look for Christ. Look for Him. Oh, He is to be found. He will be found. By all those that come to Him in need, He will be found. And I'll tell you this morning, if your cup was ever full, it's still full now. It's still full. Oh, because those who are justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will always be justified. Oh, but what we need in our lives is to be overflowing. That's what we need. And it's going to take living at the fount to be overflowing. Overflowing. That's what we need. Oh, by the grace of God, we would be made that way. Oh, that that Christ would not just be felt in us, but that He would be seen in us. That He'd be seen in us. Oh my, that we could say with David, the psalmist David, that we could say, oh, He has prepared for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Just to be able to stay and dwell at the table of the Lord. Oh, we got the feast right here. We got it. Oh, I pray for your pastor. Pray for him. And he would have words to speak. I mean, just words of Christ to show you. Words of Christ. Oh my, that would be the case. Well, I hope the Lord blessed this message.
Thought about this verse of scripture I'll read to you before we go to dinner. He's telling about the Word of God in John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Just receive it. That's our problem, isn't it? You know, we don't want to come with empty cups. That's our problem. We think somewhere we got to have something in our cups instead of just coming and receiving everything. Guilty of the greatest sins you can imagine. But here's fullness of forgiveness. Your righteousness are as filthy rags. Here's a full righteousness you can stand before God in. Of His fullness. Thank you, David. Wonderful message. Simple message. Good message. I have no idea what we're going to have for lunch, but I know it smells good. And I know it'll be good. So I hope you all can stay in about maybe 1 o'clock or so, whenever we get back in. Brother David's going to come and preach for us again, and I'm looking forward to it. So let us stand. We'll ask the Lord to bless our food. Oh, gracious Father, gracious, gracious Father in heaven, merciful, so pitiful to us. Oh, we bless your name. We ascribe all honor and praise and thanksgiving to you. Who would have known this morning when we awoke from our beds that we'd hear such wonderful, wonderful news? Oh, such good news for our poor souls that makes it leap for joy and laugh and shout. Oh, we thank you, Lord in heaven. Never can we find any such words except in your Bible. Oh, Father in heaven, do empty us out. Empty us of ourselves and bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive everything you require and everything we need from Him, who is willing to give it to all those who come empty. Thank you for Brother David. Thank you for giving him this message, this gospel message. And thank you for those who have gathered here today to hear. May you be your own teacher. May you be your interpreter. Thank you for the food the dear ladies have prepared today. We bless you for it. In Christ our Lord's name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.